instance, what am I sitting on?
A swivel chair.
Oh, another modern brainwave?
Not very modern. They were invented by Thomas Jefferson.
Why does every day involve a fight with an American?
I'll fetch a different one.
No. I'm a good sailor.
Hello, and welcome to the Anglophiles. This is an American podcast where we discuss British pop culture. I'm Danny.
I'm Sheldon.
What? I thought you were going to talk fancy with me.
Oh, I am in awe of how fancy you are right now.
I'm disappointed. But we are Anglophiles. Welcome to the Anglophiles podcast.
We're excited to be back.
Yeah! So, this was a really exciting episode to prepare for. We've got tea. We've got scones.
We've been watching all month long.
We're drinking our tea out of a fancy cup and saucer.
Yes, because we fancy.
Rather than a mug.
Yes, Danny.
So, this was a really exciting episode because the Downton Abbey movie just came out.
It just came out.
It's been out. It came out this week, so we were like, okay, we got to finish Downton Abbey. So, you know, we binged it, and
I did my best to watch a bunch of episodes. Yeah. I did not watch all of them, because I'm kind of busy right now doing LA Comic Con.
Yeah, you're really busy.
That's coming up soon, in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
If you're in Los Angeles, come out to LA Comic Con, October 11th through 13th.
Woo!
There's my plug.
Whew. So, yeah, let's, before we start talking about the show and the movie that we just saw, when did we get out of it? We got out of that movie like an hour ago.
Yeah, so this is the first time we're like jumping into a podcast right after.
After the movie so we could start recording so we could talk about Downton Abbey, the movie. But yeah, before we talk about that, do you want to talk about our British news?
Yeah, do you want to go first?
Mine is kind of a lighthearted, funny story out of the UK.
Okay.
If yours is more serious, maybe you should start.
I mean, it's serious in, I don't know if it will be a big deal to you, but, like, to me, there's something that happened this week in England. It happened a couple days ago, by the time you're listening to this podcast. The court ruled in England that suspending Parliament was unlawful. So Boris Johnson suspended Parliament, was like, nope, it's done, we can't do it right now, we're suspended.
Wow.
And then the courts had a unanimous decision amongst the 11 justices. And they were basically like, hey, this is unlawful, we were never suspended, all of them are still working.
Wow.
And it's kind of a big idea because the British culture, they don't have the, like, waiting on a Supreme Court decision as part of their culture the way we do.
True.
Like, the courts don't really operate the same way.
Yeah.
And so, to have all of them unified, 11 against 0, like, all against Boris Johnson, being like, hey, this is not cool.
Wow.
This is, like, a monumentous decision in modern-day British politics. It's weird. I think, like, they, like us, have a lot of things that have operated under, like, well, we all play fair. There's no distinct rule written down. But, like, we know how we should behave in politics. And kind of as we've seen in the past, like, several years, people just don't care anymore. They do whatever they want. They're taking advantage of a system. And I think this is the first step that they've been like, nope, we will not be taken advantage of. We're starting to put things in place to not allow it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Mine is less important.
Everything's important.
It's not quite news. It's more like, this is a funny little story that came out of Wales, actually. So, this is, I'm sure people in England know about this.
Yeah. I might know about this.
Oh, you probably do. The road sign?
The kid who washes all of them?
No.
Oh, okay. There's another cool story.
Okay. No, there was a road sign in Wales. And I guess in Wales, a lot of the traffic signs and road signs and street signs are bilingual. So they will be English and in Welsh. For all the people visiting who don't speak Welsh or read Welsh. So there was this road sign that got constructed. And I guess as they were getting ready to put it up, the person that needed to come up with a copy for it needed it translated into Welsh. So they emailed, they took the paragraph that they needed, sent it to their Welsh translator.
Oh no.
It came back, and they were like, all right, that's it. They had it printed on the sign, the sign was put up, and there was a street sign. I'm going to post a picture of it on our Instagram, but there was a street sign in Wales that the top, it says, no entry for heavy goods vehicles, residential site only. And then there's Welsh. There's a Welsh paragraph underneath. And it translates to, I am not in the office at the moment. Send any work that needs to be translated.
Amazing.
So, yeah. The translator...
I can see the confusion. If you're a translator, you probably need to put your out-of-office reply in multiple languages.
True. But I just think it's amazing that the person got the email back and they were like, hey, there it is.
This must be it. This is not English, so this must be Welsh. Yeah. And I like that they didn't check with anybody else. They weren't like, do you think this is right?
Right, you think you would double check it.
Yeah.
But with another person. But yeah, so this got put up in, I do not know how to say this, Swansea? Swansea? It's Swansea. That was the area.
Sure,
yeah. But anyway, that was really funny. They eventually had to take it down because people were, like, calling and they were like, this traffic sign's talking about emails and it doesn't tell me what I need. So I thought that was really funny.
That's kind of amazing.
We'll post a picture of that on our social media.
That reminds me of a story I read, like, much earlier this year before we were doing British news. But there is a guy in England, and I just looked it up. His name is Liam Wildish.
Ooh,
and basically,
that's a great name.
It's a great name, and he is a great
Wildish
guy. So, basically, he's this young guy. I think he's in his, like, late 20s. And he was kind of upset that all of the road signs were very dirty. And they're hard to see, especially at night. Mm-hmm. And nobody was taking care of them.
Yeah.
And so, like, he basically... It is part of a window washing business, and he would just take his window washing truck out and wash these street signs as a hobby.
Wow.
And he just goes around the countryside cleaning up signs to make it safer for motorists.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's the kind of, we need hundreds of Liam.
Right?
Like, yeah. That is one of the greatest people in the world that just sees something and they're like, well, that's dangerous for other people.
Yeah.
I have the potential to make it better. I'm going to do
awesome.
It for them.
That's so cool.
Like, without asking for payment or anything,
has
expecting a return.
Has he ever been asked, like, by the government or something to stop?
I don't think so. As far as I could tell, I think people like
they're
it.
Cool
they're
with it?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you be if you're like, oh, we did need to wash that anyway. He's down there with a wash. Yeah, go for
it. I've heard stories of things in America where someone takes it upon themselves to do something like that. That's like, it kind of would be like a government issued job,
yeah,
or you know, like a government hire and something like that. And people take it upon themselves and do it. And then the government's like, oh, that's really nice, but you can't do it.
Yeah.
So that's, interesting.
That's upsetting.
Woo! Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get to listener mail. We have some listener mail.
We've got a bunch. I think you were telling me we're starting to get more and more messages in, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten a bunch of emails lately, so if you've sent one, you may have to be patient, because we have some to go through.
Yeah, we're working our way through them.
But we did get an email from Andrew Rowe, and it's pretty short and to the point. It's a really good email, so I thought we would read that and a Facebook message that we got.
Oh, cool.
So why don't you read the email?
Hey guys, love the show. I've been listening for a couple of months and have listened to every episode. You've got me to watch a ton of British TV I've never seen before and I couldn't be happier. Blackadder being one of them.
Nice.
Hey, I have a cunning plan. How about you guys do an episode on Little Britain?
Ooh.
It's been one of my favorites for years and would love to hear your opinions on it. Thanks for the great show and I can't wait to see what snack you guys eat on the next episode. Andrew.
Nice. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for sending
and
that in.
For the record, I love Little Britain.
Yeah, that's a show we will watch.
I quote it a lot.
You
I always do the ya ba ni ba. Or like when I see ice cream, I'm like, I want to whip it.
You do quote that in is it Come Fly With Me?
Yeah, I also quote Come Fly With Me too. But
a lot.
We will have to do Little Britain at some point because it's so good. My favorite one is the Scottish innkeeper. Have you seen that one?
I don't know. I mean, you've shown me some episodes. I haven't seen a lot.
It's so funny. Okay, we're watching it after this.
All right.
Well, thank you for the email, Andrew. We will get around to doing Little Britain.
Absolutely.
So then we also got a Facebook message from Ben Shepherd, and he says, "Dear Danny and Sheldon, greetings from a real bona fide Brit. I'm from Guildford in the south of England, unlike Ford Prefect, and was made aware of your existence through Danny's appearance on James Bonding."
Woohoo!
Good job! It was Bonding as well as Nerdist slash IDT 10T, which I think spells idiot.
It sure does.
That I first became aware of a deep enjoyment from listening to British TV and film culture discussed from a fresh perspective. This may be, as I've been living abroad for some time now and have experienced the English experience from a semi-foreign point of view myself. Indeed, in both Poland, where I currently reside, and China, where I taught for a year,
wow.
I have introduced a veritable plethora of students to the wonders of our old friends Marmite, Boost Bars, and Cream Eggs.
Oh no.
So you can imagine my delight at finding kindred spirits such as yourselves. Sheldon, I have forcibly pushed Marmite on folks across three continents, and
how
I can honestly say
you.
That your descriptions of the experience are the best I have ever heard. And he starts quoting you here.
Oh, no.
I'm feeling feisty and sad. This is Apple Butter's evil twin. Every time I breathe, it makes it weirder. And you can smell the inside of your mouth. All belong on t-shirts. So, basically,
I'm having PTSD right now. I was having a great day.
He says,
oh, now I'm not.
So basically, keep up the good work. And if I may be so bold, I'd be fascinated on your take of such TV classics as The Saint, The Prisoner, and The Avengers.
Oh, The Avengers I would love to watch.
Also, if you do a classic Doctor Who episode, please consider The Sea Devils, The Pyramids of Mars, and Remembrance of the Daleks from Who's 3, 4, and 7, respectively. I'd also feel remiss if I didn't shout out to Not the 9 O'Clock News, as that's where Richard Curtis, French and Saunders, and Rowan Atkinson came from.
Ooh.
I'll leave it there, as I have a habit of going on a bit, so thanks again very much. Keep calm and stop faffing about Ben Shepherd. And he's attached a picture of, it looks like this is when he gave Marmite to his students in China.
Oh, cool.
So there's a bunch of little kids here that
thumbs
are,
down.
There, three of them are giving a very extreme thumbs down to the Marmite, but two of them are like, yeah! It's a really cute picture.
That is cute. I like it.
Thank you so much, Ben. We really enjoyed this message.
Ugh,
I was laughing.
I had forgotten about Marmite.
I had forgotten the things that you had said about Marmite, and when I started reading them, I laughed so hard. So
no, you do so much work on this. You're focusing on like steering this cart, and I'm just throwing in jokes willy-nilly.
It's true. Well, thank you so much for that. If anyone wants to send us an email or a message, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we also are anglefilespodcast@gmail.com.
Files with an F.
Yeah. So would you like to talk about our topic today?
I would love to.
What is it?
Downton Abbey.
Or as certain Americans call it, Downtown Abbey.
Yeah.
It's not what it's called. But, do you want to talk about the show, or do you want to talk about the movie first?
Well, I feel like you can't talk about the movie without talking about the show.
Okay, so let's start with the show.
Yeah, give us kind of a short synopsis, like, for somebody who doesn't know and has maybe heard of this show, what is it? How would you sum it up in a couple sentences?
I'm guessing most people listening to this have watched Downton Abbey. But if
maybe
you
not.
Haven't, I guess it is about the class division between the aristocrats and the people working in service in a very large estate called Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of explores the social dynamic between the two classes and how they work together and like have drama. So it's very interesting.
And when's it take place?
I forget.
It's like in the 19-teens, and I think the movie's in the early
1920s. The first episode happens, like, the first episode is, like, the day after the Titanic sank.
Yeah, which is 1912?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so.
We were
and then
schooled
they get,
in America.
They get to World War I. I know, but I know these things.
I was schooled in America.
But then they get to World War I and eventually the 20s, which it's fascinating to watch how fashion and everything hit them very differently than it does in America.
Mm.
That I think we know kind of the fashion of the 20s in America, how
yeah.
it was all roaring, but very different there.
Yeah, it, what's interesting about Downton Abbey is that it's very much about the dynamic between two social classes and
the upstairs people and the downstairs
yeah,
people.
Yeah, and it's interesting because through the beginning of the first season of Downton Abbey, they're constantly saying things like, oh, like, things are changing, the world's changing. And, like, by the time the war happens, some of the people that work in service are like, things are going to be different after the war. Like, they're already talking about how, like, the class thing is, like, starting to kind of fall apart or fall away, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's just becoming old-fashioned, so yeah, it's very interesting. So, Yeah, who do you think are the best characters on Downton Abbey?
I mean, it's hard to ask that of me as somebody who's not, like, a huge fan of this show. Like, I watched it and I enjoyed it. I think
but
it was fine.
You still have characters that you think are really
right.
cool.
Right. Okay, then characters I think are cool may not be what everyone else thinks, but I mean...
That's fine.
This
is what you think.
Yeah, I think it took a long time for Carson to grow on me. I did not like him through the first season.
Why?
I don't know. He just has a stick up his butt. And
he's just very dedicated.
I know, but I don't know. It took me a while to get him, and then after a while, I was like, oh yeah, he's our grumpy old man. We like him.
Carson's great. He's so dedicated to making sure that the household is run well, that the family is happy, that their reputation is being upheld in the best way, and he definitely has a soft spot for Lady Mary.
Yeah.
So I think that's really sweet.
Anna and Bates are great.
Anna's really cool. In season one, I really loved Mr. Bates a lot.
Yeah.
And I was so into him as a character. He was so cool and so noble. And he's struggling. And then there's this, like, little spark with Anna. So, yeah, I think...
Yeah, he knows Lord Grantham from Becca in the war.
So, I think...
Or in the military.
I definitely, in season one, loved Mr. Bates. But then, I don't think they really... do much with his character after season
gotcha.
One.
So yeah,
same with Anna. They just throw more and more bad things at Anna and Mr. Bates.
This is just like bad things happen to like beautiful rich people, the TV show.
Bad things like, happen to the poor people too.
Yeah, but more often than not, it's the people upstairs I feel like the worst things are happening to. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't seen enough, and the episodes you showed me are just like very unfair towards like I would hate to be part of this family.
Are there any other characters that kind of stand out to you?
I mean, yeah, like, Lady Grantham is the best of all time.
Oh, like, really?
I mean, Maggie Smith, like...
Oh, you mean Cousin Violet.
Is she not Lady Grantham?
No.
Why?
Because...
I guess I don't understand
Cora
titles. I never
Lady
do.
Grantham.
Okay.
Oh, but no, Maggie Smith's character is one of the best female characters ever. I agree with you.
Yeah.
She's
you can just
amazing.
Tell anytime the writers are like, oh, I just want to be really sassy right now. Can we get an excuse to have her character show up just for this scene? And then she can leave. It's like she wasn't here.
Yeah.
But we'll just have one scene of her being kind of witty.
She's so sharp. She's so smart. She's always scheming. But it's always for like what she thinks is best for the family and best for the...
What
girls.
She thinks is best. I think
it's
you
true.
Underlined it there.
It is.
It's never what anybody else
it
thinks.
It is always what she thinks. But yeah, Maggie Smith is, yeah, probably the best character on the show.
I do like Lady Grantham, though. She's
Cora.
Okay. Yeah,
she's
Cora's
cool.
good.
It was cool to have an American character in there.
It was, yeah, it was strange, but cool.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It just felt out of place where I was like, oh, you're just not as fancy as everyone else here.
Well, I think it was a really good move because it kind of like highlighted the difference between her and Lord Grantham. You know, he's more old fashioned and she's a little more like she's still very, very elegant and, you know.
But she's kind of a bit progressive in a way.
Yeah. She's definitely more progressive than.
And so are her daughters.
Do you want to know what characters I think are the best?
Her daughters, I'm guessing.
No.
Well, I thought you loved Sybil, like, a
ton.
I
love Sybil. A lot.
I was very upset at what the show did to her, and at that point I was like, I get why people stop watching the show halfway through.
Well, no, a lot of people stayed on with it. My parents have watched every season.
Yeah. But that was just, I don't know, upsetting. Sorry, who do you love?
I really liked Thomas and O'Brien.
Interesting.
I mean, not like, ooh, I love them, because they're, you know, clearly they start off both being really bad people. But they're so interesting.
I could not disagree more.
I just think, like, haven't you ever worked somewhere where you don't really love it there, and there's one other person there that you're like... You also hate it here.
Yeah.
And
but I didn't actively go out of my way to make hell for everyone else. Like, that's where I draw the line, is it's not just a, yes, we're in this together in this, like, prison. It's more like, oh, I'm going to potentially kill this person.
Hmm.
Like, whoops, it's an accident. No, it's not. You're awful. You're evil.
Hmm.
And I don't know. Like, There are a lot of quick kind of heel turns in this show where it's like, okay, well, you know they were bad, but they're good now. So, like, be cool with them that they're good now.
Well, people can change.
People can.
On TV.
I mean, I think people can change in real life, you know? I think it is rare. We're creatures of habit, and we tend to not...
Yeah.
Like, we tend to resist change for the most part.
I also really liked... It took me a while to come around on him, but I also really liked Matthew Crawley, from his later seasons. At first, I wasn't into him, but, he became more interesting.
So what do you like the most about Matthew? Cousin Matthew.
I like that he came in not really wanting to take care of Downton. He came in not really wanting to be there to have a place or to run it. And he kind of, like, didn't really care about it at all. And I think that Lord Grantham really liked him and kind of, like, showed him, you know, you can do what you want to do here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can be good at it. And so, I don't know, I thought it was kind of cool how he kind of came around and started liking the idea of running it. He was cool. I like Branson. I had a big crush on Branson early on.
You said, like, everyone did, right?
The Irish accent.
Especially, yep. The second he showed up, I was like, okay, I get it.
I like the doctor. I like the family doctor.
Oh, yeah, he kind of comes and goes.
Yeah, and then, who else is good? I like, you like Mrs. Patmore.
Love Mrs. Patmore. Maybe my favorite character.
I think she is your favorite character.
She probably is.
I've always liked her, but it wasn't until you and I started watching Downton Abbey together that you were like, ooh, like anything she said, you were like, ooh, yeah, I like Mrs. Patmore.
Yeah.
And once you pointed out how awesome she was to me, I was like, yeah.
Like, she is smart, hardworking, fights for her employees. Like, she's not berating them. She's trying to make everyone better in her kitchen.
Feisty.
But, like, nobody messes with her kitchen.
She's like a Lady Gordon Ramsay.
Ooh, okay.
You know? Where she's like, I have high expectations about this food. But she, like, she'll help you out.
Yeah.
I was not expecting Mrs. Patmore to make it all the way to the finale.
No, in a show that they're killing people left and right.
Well,
like,
people get killed off, people die, people leave. Like, you know, O'Brien leaves, Thomas leaves.
Yeah, what happens to O'Brien?
I forget.
Yeah.
People leave. And by the end of the show, I would say, like, roughly half the cast had you know,
had
from
changed
the first
up,
season
yeah.
had left, and there are new characters, and I would not have expected Mrs. Patmore to have stayed to the end, or Daisy, really.
No, especially when, basically, in the first season, it's a big plot line that she can't see, and then she has to go get vintage LASIK, and then everything's better. Like, from the beginning, you're kind of like, okay, she's old news in this world, she might have to do something else, and then they're like, nah, never mind, she's gonna do this forever, she's good.
She's good. I also really like Mrs. Hughes, the housekeeper.
Yeah, she was another one that grew on me. She was kind of quiet in the beginning.
She's kind of one of those characters who is very reliable. Like, all throughout the show, she is just consistently, like, doing a good job. Are there any plot lines that you think were really good? Like, what were some of the favorite plot lines that you saw?
I don't know.
Okay, what were some of the worst plot lines?
I don't like the whole... I mean, I get why Cousin Matthew comes in. It's going to be... He's going to run Downton Abbey. I don't like how Lord Grantham ever reacts to anything.
Yeah, you really
he's
don't
He's such
like,
a pushover. I don't like him.
You don't like Lord Grantham.
He's my least favorite character,
That's
probably.
That's really interesting, because I always liked him, because I think the show wants you to like him, so I think I just automatically liked him.
Yeah. He just does nothing ever.
Yeah, you really don't like him.
There's no fight. He's just like, well, we're giving up our house. And they're like, is there anything we can do? He's like, no, definitely. You can't do anything. You have to give it up. And
he's in charge of Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. There's just a lot where I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, what do you even do? The rest of your family is constantly doing something.
Yeah.
All he does is walk around with the cutest dog. Like, that gives him a lot of cool points in my book. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I don't know. If he just feels kind of useless to me.
You don't like him.
I don't love him. Well, what plot lines do you like? Since you are the one who is more kind of seasoned in this show, and you kind of know all the seasons of the show and the big plot lines of them, what are ones that jumped out at you? What do you like?
I really like I really like Sybil helping the one maid, Rose Leslie, go get a job, like, as a secretary.
Yeah.
I really also like Sybil becoming political, and then Sybil and Branson falling in love, and then her just kind of challenging her family's ideas about, like, you know, who you can marry and stuff like that.
I also like that she came out wearing pants.
Yeah.
That was such a great cliffhanger. We were like, you dropped the mic there.
That was a really, really big moment. Like, I've seen a lot of fans, like, do fan art of her in that outfit.
In that pantsuit. Pants.
And I think that was kind of early on when I started watching that, watching the show. That was the moment that I was like, okay, hell yes, I like Sybil. Because, like, when I was a teen girl, like, I loved wearing weird stuff to family events. And, like, coming to dinner and, like, wearing weird things.
Of course you did.
To see what my aunt would say. So, yeah.
You did it to impress your aunt?
No!
Which one?
Aunt Michelle! Oh. She did not like my fashion. She loved me dearly, but she did not like my fashion.
What's one of the weirdest things you ever wore to, like, a public event like
that? I took a piece of velvet, green velvet, and I wore jeans and a top, and then I took the green velvet and I wrapped it around my waist like a skirt.
Interesting.
It was kind of a weird thing in the early 2000s. Like, to wear
grungy druid.
It was like, no, in the early 2000s it was a thing to, like, wear a piece of fabric over your jeans. It was, like, weird. It was, like, a thing for, like, a year, and then it was gone. But, anyway, that was the moment that I was like, oh, I love Sybil. Like, you can really identify with her. She's so modern. She's so ahead of her time. So, yeah, I loved that. That was cool.
Yeah, that is pretty great.
It was, like, the old-fashioned equivalent of, like, a girl coming to, like, eat dinner with her family at the dinner table, where, like, dressed like goth or something, you know? Where they were like, oh, she's wearing pants!
Call, so, tell everyone!
Yeah, I liked that. I really liked, I liked when Mr. Bates was, like, about to be in trouble for something, and Anna was already going to London, and Anna, like, kind of investigated it, so she could, like, help clear him.
That is,
I thought that was really cool.
That's kind of my favorite thing about Anna, is that she'll just be like, all right, well, I'm going to go do this thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if
there's
something...
There's no stopping her.
Yeah. If she needs to investigate, or if, like, she needs to save the day, she's like, all right, well, I'm going to do it because nobody else will.
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of one, I think, she's, like, the hardest working person in the house that you never really, like, think twice, and then you look and you're like, oh, yeah, she's been doing this stuff all episode.
Yeah. Anna will definitely have Mrs. Hughes' job one day.
Ooh, you think?
She'll be the housekeeper, yeah.
Yeah, she'd be perfect for it.
Also, like, I never loved Lady Mary in the beginning, because she just seemed kind of spoiled and shallow.
I liked her a lot.
I just never liked her, but...
She's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, she's great. But by the end of the show, she really, like, got a hand in, like, running the estate.
Yeah.
And she became, like, a businesswoman, and I was so proud of her. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Do you think it's time for a snack break?
Oh, I would love one. I'm just looking at these scones.
All right. Let's have a quick... Ooh, let's take it in the library.
Oh, yes, dear. Don't turn on the lights. I don't like electricity.
Oh, my God. Okay, welcome to Snack Time. This is the part of the podcast where Sheldon and I like to try a British food and give it a little review. So usually we do a British candy bar, but today, because this is the Downton Abbey episode, we have something special. Two things. Would you like to talk about them, Sheldon?
Sure, yeah. We are going very fancy. We're drinking, actually, a Downton Abbey tea. It's called the Downton Estate Blend.
This is by Republic of Tea, which is a really good tea brand. They make really good Christmas time teas.
Oh, yes.
So this was their limited edition Downton Abbey Downton Estate Blend. It says limited edition, but I've seen it in stores for the past couple years.
But it's limited. You don't know how long it'll last.
I think I might get more because it tastes really good.
And because it's limited, you gotta buy them all.
So this is, it's the Downton Estate Blend. It is a classic Earl Grey black tea with vanilla.
These are all things I love.
And it's got the little Downton Abbey picture on it, and then it also has which character?
Oh, my favorite.
It's Maggie Smith. Which I think is really cute that it decided to put her on the tea tin.
I mean, in my mind, she's the face of the show, even though she's usually only in like 10 minutes of every episode.
It's true. It's true. So yeah, we've made the Downton Abbey tea, so we're going to taste that on the podcast.
But then you've made something very special.
I also made scones.
I'm so excited. I love a good scone.
Mmm.
And I love a good scone like these ones are, that are kind of a little, like, lumpy and asymmetrical.
Crumbly.
Like, yeah. Mm. Nothing against Starbucks, but they're weird triangle scones.
They're scones.
I don't trust them. They're too perfect.
I think a triangle... I get what you're saying. A triangle is actually a really common shape for a scone, I think, but I get what you're saying. A Starbucks scone is very uniform.
Yeah.
And you kind of want your scone to look very handmade.
Yeah.
I think.
I feel like, too, it feels better in your hands when you're holding it than something that looks just like a cookie cutter.
Yeah. So, yeah, I brought some scones over here that I've made, and then I put butter, Kerrygold Irish butter on them, and a little bit of raspberry jam. So
yes,
yeah. So you want to taste the tea first?
And, yeah, absolutely.
And give your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I love Earl Grey, so I'm excited to see what this tastes like with a lot of vanilla.
Really big Earl Grey fan.
I am,
much more so than I am.
But you like Lady Grey?
I like Lady Grey because it's a little lighter. I discovered recently, Lady Grey was the attempt to serve Earl Grey tea to the Scandinavian countries.
Oh, interesting.
They thought that Earl Grey was too spicy, so.
Interesting. See, I like the spices.
I don't like bergamot.
I like this, though. I feel like the vanilla really tames down the power of the Earl Grey.
I think that the vanilla balances the bergamot that's in Earl Grey,
yeah.
Which is the flavor that I don't like about Earl Grey. This is honestly the best Earl Grey tea I've ever had.
Because this is very vanilla, and it's good.
It's not overpowering, though.
No, it's smooth. It lasts on your tongue for a while. Like, even after I'm done sipping it, like, I'm still tasting vanilla with each breath that's coming in.
This is a really, really good tea. They really did a good job.
It's surprisingly good.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I was expecting it to just to be all right. I mean, a lot of Earl Grey's taste very similar because you know the flavor.
Mm.
And this, I think, it doesn't taste like a classic Earl Grey, but I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Republic of Tea is a really good tea brand.
Yeah, this is delightful.
Would you like to try the scone?
Absolutely, I think.
I cut one in half. Would you like the top or the bottom of the scone?
Oh, does it matter?
Are you one of those people? There might be a little bit of a texture difference. I know some people are very adamant about only eating the top of the bagel or the bottom of the bagel.
Oh.
I didn't know if you had a preference when it comes to stuff like that.
See, I like both the top and bottoms of things.
Okay,
like,
good. I'm taking the top.
Okay. Oh, so you're one of those people you were talking about.
I like the top of the bagel. I like the top of the scone.
What do you feel about
the biscuit?
Muffins? Do you just eat the muffin top?
No, I'll eat a whole muffin.
Yeah, see?
Those are good. Yeah, give it a try and tell me what you think. There's a lot of butter on there.
Mm. I don't think I need the butter and jam, though. I think I like the flavor of it on its own.
I do have one over here that doesn't have anything on it.
So okay. Yeah, I'll take a nibble of this.
Yeah, eat that one. I think this is really good. I really like scones because they kind of have a bit of a fluffy texture the way that an American biscuit does.
Yep. I was just thinking of a Southern biscuit.
It's a lot like a Southern biscuit, but it's sweet. You know, there's sugar in it. So,
but there's still a tiny bit of salt. Like, you get a hint of that salt. Especially, I mean, I'm getting it more without the butter and jam.
Gotcha.
Like, when I'm just taking a bite of this normal one, like,
yeah.
A tiny bit of salt does come through. So it feels... It doesn't feel like I'm eating a dessert. You know?
I can see that. It's not as sweet.
I think a scone would be classified as a dessert.
I think
is it more a breakfast food?
It's a sweet... It's definitely served with tea. I think historically it was served with tea. I don't know how people eat them now, but
tea in Britain is generally,
afternoon. Yeah, I think so.
So it's like an afternoon snack.
I think so.
This would be a great afternoon snack.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, what's interesting about Downton Abbey and scones is, I remember when Downton Abbey was maybe in its second or third season, Game of Thrones was also in its second or third season. Like, I think they kind of came out around the same time. So I was telling somebody that I was watching Downton Abbey, and they referred to it as Game of Scones.
Oh, that's good.
Which I think is really funny. I think at some point on this podcast, we should definitely do a full cream tea. And do where we do, like, scones, but we also have, like, clotted cream to put on them, which would be really
good. What is clotted cream?
I just know it's really good.
Is it chunky?
No, it's like...
It sounds like it would be.
It's like really condensed, sweetened cream. So it's like Devonshire cream. Have you ever had it?
No. I don't like
the word clotted is not a good word, but clotted cream is delicious. We'll have it. Okay. We'll try it. It'll be good.
I'm not a fan of like creams or like
we don't have to
thick
do it.
Dairy. I mean, we should do it. I'll try it.
Okay.
But I'm just warning you. Like, my preferred type of milk is skim. Like, okay. Water that shit down, baby.
Like, you're gonna like it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. I know we're about to get into the movie and we're about to get into it, but I was just thinking because I was looking at Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
On the picture of this estate blend.
Yes.
This is going to sound very dumb.
Okay.
And I'm ready for that.
Okay.
Downton Abbey's not a real place, right? Like... like, this is not a historical building slash family.
Correct. It is a... It's a fictional... I mean, I don't know as far anything about the... I'm assuming it's all fictional.
Gotcha.
But the castle
so.
Itself, I think, is called Highclere Castle.
Gotcha.
But it could be very off. But no, it's fictional. But
and
that's
in
a good
the
question.
Movie,
yeah,
the royalty,
yeah.
What about them? Are they real or
they
are
they
fake? Okay.
They were real.
I had no idea, and I'm like, I don't know the names of any of you, and I'm realizing I don't know the names of British royalty past. The year 2000,
well,
or like 96 maybe?
Because like our entire lives, I mean, I was born in 86, you were 88.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our entire lives, we've only known England to have a queen.
Yeah.
So watching...
And the same queen.
Yes. And so watching Downton Abbey and the movie especially, and when they're talking about the king coming to visit, you're like, who's the king? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, and I was just sitting there thinking back, I'm like... I don't know when he would be, or... Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah, we know little.
I know very little. But then again, I mean, I don't know the rulers of any country, like, past who's ruling right now. Mm. I mean, granted, I guess you know some in history books, the ones who are very notable,
dictators.
But...
Dictators.
Yeah, but I think you could sit somebody down and say, like, if you're, say, from England, and be like, how many American presidents have there been? Name 10.
Ooh.
And I think people would probably have a hard time. Like, you would be able to name, like, a handful.
Yeah, they'd know the big ones.
Yeah. But then again, now that I think about it, I think
so
a lot of Americans would have trouble naming more than 10.
That's upsetting.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you.
Ooh, do it.
While we're sitting here with our tea and our
scones.
I'm
going to take another bite of
Downton Abbey. My question is,
this one.
Let's say that you are a young man. You are...
I am.
19 years old.
Oh.
The year is 1915.
Yes.
Question is, would you go into service and work at Downton Abbey? Let's say you lived in that county. Or would you go, like, work on a farm or a shop? Would you prefer that to working in Downton Abbey? And if you would, if you think you personally would work at Downton Abbey, what job would you do?
I'm a downstairs person. I'm a footman.
You're a footman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, why footman?
That just seems like it fits me the most.
Okay.
Feels like you get some outside, some fresh air. Mm. But at the same time, like, you're not as, like, shackled to have to listen to everyone else and really be following everyone's orders. I feel like the footman... I feel like the footmen have a little bit more leniency, and they do, like, their own thing, where I feel like the rest of the house is always kind of in each other's business.
Interesting.
When the footmen go off and do their thing, and I like that. I thought when you were saying service, and around that time, if you were going to ask if I would join up. Yeah.
Mm.
And also, no. Hell no.
True.
I am not about to do that. I don't care about pride or about... being honorable or whatnot. I just want to live and not get shot at.
It's a good goal.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What about you? Where would you work? Would you?
I think I would maybe work in service. I think I would work in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah. I think I would be the cook or, like, assisting the cook. Like, maybe what Daisy does. Because I think it sounds good. I think... I would rather work with food than work, like being a maid, you'd have to work with the family, and while that could be cool, if you're not feeling social that day, you're screwed. And so I think I would rather be a cook because, yeah, I'd rather work with food. I'd rather have, like, menial tasks that I could do without having to interact with anyone and just kind of, like, you know, whip up a souffle and, like, think about, like, another life.
Interesting.
I don't know. I didn't
think you liked cooking.
I love cooking. Oh. I made these scones.
I know, but I was surprised.
That's weird. Yeah, I think I would work. Yeah, I would work in the kitchen.
Interesting.
It would be warm. It would be cozy. It would suck in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah.
Probably. But I would love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You down there with Miss Patmore?
Yeah. I think it would be fun.
Would you be a good assistant, or would you want their job? Would you be aiming for, like, head chef, or are you fine just being, like, the number two in the kitchen?
I'm not very power hungry.
Yeah,
I'm just food hungry. So, I would probably be so chill assisting whoever was in charge.
Oh, would it be so hard to not sneak food, though?
Oh, I definitely would eat the food.
Would you? Yeah, oh, you little. Ooh.
I would make a little bit more than what was going to be served, and then I would eat it.
Okay.
That's
okay.
What I would do.
And you'd get in trouble.
I'd get fired. And then have to go work
then
in a shop.
On to the next kitchen. Well, I guess you just have to work in a small enough house. Like, if it's a big place like Downton Abbey, you'd get in trouble. But if it's a small house, like, who is the one chef girl that came on and she was, like, upset that they couldn't eat the meals that the upstairs people were eating?
Oh.
So you just kind of get a house like that.
She was weird.
Yeah, but you gotta get a house where she's from.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's the thing, is that every house was kind of run differently with different standards and interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, this has been a great snack break. Yeah. One of my favorites.
It tastes real good.
Thank you so much for making these scones.
I like
they are,
scones.
These scones are delicious. The scones are scrummy.
Cool. Well, you want to get back to our topic?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Back to the episode. We are back from our fancy little snack break.
Yes, tea in the library. It was quite nice.
Oh, it was delightful, darling. Do you want to talk about the movie that we just saw?
Yes, let's talk about the movie.
Yes.
And I will tell you why right off the bat that I am excited to talk about the movie.
Oh, yeah, you're very excited.
I enjoyed the Downton Abbey movie more than I enjoyed the last three seasons of Downton Abbey.
Oh, hey. I mean,
not to say they're bad. I know many people who enjoyed them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I really liked the first three seasons of Downton Abbey. And by the end, I was less interested. So I thought the movie was great.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
I think it's everything that, like, a Downton Abbey fan would want out of a movie, you know? It had, like, lots of humor, had, like, some drama.
Very fancy rich people.
Scandals.
Going to a fancy rich person party.
Yeah.
A lot of love.
The premise of the
movie. No deaths, though.
I know.
Thought for sure it was going to happen at the end.
Ooh.
Where I thought,
who did you think was going to die?
Oh, I was 100% convinced. All right, spoiler alert. We're going to be talking about the movie, so if you haven't seen it yet,
yeah,
maybe skip towards the end of this podcast. We talk about how British it is and give the word.
Yeah.
But I thought for sure Cousin Violet was going to die at the party because they kept cutting to her.
At the ball.
At the ball. Yep. They kept cutting to her, and at one point her eyes looked a little glazed over.
Yep.
And I was like, oh no.
She's going to die.
Because she just did her only thing. She passed on her legacy. She's okay with
her
cousin now.
She's
going
to die at the ball.
I was certain it was happening. I'm like, yeah, there hasn't been a death yet. The show needs a death in this movie. Oh no.
Yeah.
But then it didn't happen. It was just like, never mind. We're going to end the movie now.
Let's talk about the basic premise of the movie.
Yeah.
I think, because I had not seen any of the trailers.
Me neither.
For this.
I had no idea what it was going into.
I just knew we were
going
to watch it for the podcast.
Yeah, same.
So I didn't watch a trailer. And so I didn't know what the premise. I was like, what is the movie going to be? I don't even know. I think it was actually very genius to
so
set
clever.
It with a royal visit coming to Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Because then you get to show the ins and outs of what the servants are doing. You know, they're getting ready, and then them clashing with the servants of the royal family.
That's a phenomenal plot line.
You got to meet, like, the royal butler, the royal housekeeper, the royal chef, like, the royal footman. It was so genius.
It's something that makes complete sense. Like, I like that kind of panic before they get there where they're like, well, what do? Let's just do everything as good as we can. We'll wait for them to arrive.
Yeah.
And then when they arrive, they just take everything from them.
Yep.
And you see how upset all the Downton Abbey staff is.
Yeah.
But of course that would be how it would be. Like,
it's all, true.
Like, you would almost always certainly want your staff to wait on you, and I think that's how it is even today with a lot of leaders. They bring their own staff with them for things they eat. For...
It's true, but I think there definitely is something to the idea that, you know, this is a really grand house. They want to be able to say, like, look, we can provide service good enough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I think I get why.
To, like, be respectful when you visit a place to, like, let them show you what they can do.
I think if you are anybody who is not currently ruling a country, I agree with you.
Okay.
I think if you are somebody who is in charge,
yeah,
you should not be getting, like, help from people who are not your official staff. Because... you never know, like, you cannot trust them.
Yeah.
All it takes, like, they're a big subplot in this movie is somebody's trying to kill the king.
Yeah.
All it takes is one person to poison the food.
True.
And then that whole staff is gone. Like, true. This whole house is just an embarrassment. Like, I get why they're that cautious and why they like things a certain way.
Yeah.
But I loved seeing that they have two sets of everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Some to be in London and some to be there so that they can travel and everyone is always ready to wait on them.
Yeah.
You're right that, like, that setting was a great addition to
as
the show.
As soon as I realized that's what the movie was doing, I was like, oh, bravo.
So much fun.
Bravo.
And
because then you get to see Mrs. Patmore angry. You get to see Mrs. Hughes be like, oh, Mrs. Patmore, calm down. And then, like, she has to meet the royal housekeeper.
Yeah,
and
they all,
like,
meet... They all meet the royal version of what they do. Who is your favorite of the royal staff? I loved the chef.
The chef was great. The French
so
chef
annoyed.
Was great. The guy who was playing the, like, royal butler, do you recognize him?
No, I think he was familiar. He was not
so
the butler. He let us know that.
I feel very bad that I cannot remember that actor's name right now.
Okay.
But he's in Four Weddings and a Funeral. He is one of the, he's the groom in one of the weddings that they go to. He's also in, he was in Paint Dreadful. He was a bad guy. He was also in Killing Eve. He was, Eve's boss in Killing Eve.
You're listing a lot of shows I've watched tangentially through you.
Okay.
Like, that you watch and I'll be in the background.
He's a really well-known, like, British actor.
Okay.
I think he worked more in, like, the 90s. But I know you've seen him before, but he was really good. Because all he had to do was come in and just be grumpy and be stern, and he did a great job.
It's very true. I think he nailed what he was supposed to be.
Things that surprised me about the Downton Abbey movie... I was not expecting Branson to have as much screen time as he did.
Yeah,
by the end of it, I was cool with it.
Yeah, but I'm also still just... I guess I've been confused. I mean, it's probably, like you said, you just have to have hot, attractive guys on a TV show. But I was... For most of the later seasons, I'm like, why is he still there? He wanted to leave. He kept talking about leaving.
Yeah.
I guess it's just once you finally feel like you have a family, people that support you... It's hard to leave that.
Yeah. I think
you feel comfortable.
They liked the actor. I think having him around lets you think about Sybil. Even if nobody's talking about her, you're thinking about Sybil when he's around.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're letting her, like, presence still be there when he's around. So I think it was smart to have him stay around. And then also show that, like, even though the family was so against him joining the family, once he was in, they were like... Your family now.
Yeah.
You know, we've been through grief together, so...
That is one of the best things about the family.
Cool.
They're very welcoming.
The other side of that, Branson had way more screen time than I was expecting.
Surprising.
Lord Grantham was barely in the movie.
I was so okay with it.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what do you do with his character? He doesn't like doing anything.
That's a good point.
And in a movie where you're like, we've got a lot to fit in, he's just going to be a contrarian. There's no need for that when we can have the contrarians be all the royal people.
It's true. I really loved how the movie opened with following the letter, going from Buckingham Palace,
yes.
Like going on the train, to going on a guy with a motorbike who's like delivering it, finally bringing it to Downton, and the way that like drone shot comes over the hill and like...
You gasped next to me. I just heard you go...
Well, it was because... You, like, every time you see Downton Abbey on the show, it's always a very static shot.
It's always from the left down that path.
They show it over and over again. Sometimes they Photoshop snow onto it.
Oh,
so.
Well, no, there was one time where it was actually snowing, and I was like, this is a new shot. This is
so
nice.
Yeah, it was just a really beautiful, sweeping shot, and, like, Downton Abbey theme like swelled right as they came up over the hill, and I was like, it was so beautiful. But
yeah, we got a lot of great shots of
that
the place.
Was cool. And then I also liked how they showed Lord Grantham coming down the stairs with his dog following him, because yeah. that is the first moment that he's shown on the show as well.
He's a new dog, though.
Him coming down, yeah.
It's okay. Dogs I mean, die. I get it. Dogs do die. And I'm glad that's never a plot line on the show, because that would be very upsetting. Is it a plot line? Does one of the dogs die on the show?
We don't need to talk about dog death.
Oh, no, Danny.
But yeah, I thought the movie was really good. I think they did a really good job utilizing, you know, the cast that they had and making it really fun and engaging. It was great.
And pitting, once again, the great Dame Maggie Smith against Imelda Staunton. Whenever she walked
McGonagall
up.
It was McGonagall versus Umbridge again.
I loved it.
Electric.
It was fascinating. Whenever the movie was starting and she showed up, I'm like, I don't want anybody else in this. Like, this is my movie now.
Imelda Staunton is so talented.
Incredible actress.
Also, she looked quite beautiful.
She looked gorgeous,
right?
And
like,
young.
In her scenes where she had like her hair done up and she had the little tiara on.
Yeah.
She looked
rocking the curly hair.
Love Imelda Staunton. But yeah, I think they did some really cool things. Like, I wasn't expecting Branson to have such a big role, but I think it makes sense that if the king was coming, someone would be like, don't we have, like, an Irish radicalist
yeah.
here? Like,
I thought it
just seemed like a very logical thing. Like, it didn't seem, like, super contrived. It seemed like something that might actually be something people would worry about. So, that was really cool.
I liked and didn't like what they were doing with Thomas the whole time, because he's a character, like I mentioned, not a huge fan.
Yeah.
Didn't like how, I don't like a lot of his plot lines that happened, especially him at the end becoming, like, what, head butler? Or what was his job?
The butler.
Yeah, like, I don't buy it. I don't think you would take a risk on that guy. Like, I know a lot of people you do promote from within.
Yeah.
I don't think you promote him to that position. And so it was nice in the beginning seeing he's still not great at this. Like, he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
But he, like, the staff at Downton, the family, isn't confident in his abilities.
Yeah.
And I liked that. And then I liked that they were basically like, okay, thank you. Piss off for the rest of the movie. We're going to have our own plot line. And you can just go have a day in town.
It was interesting that there was a whole this whole plot line running through the movie of Thomas kind of, like, discovering a gay club and going, but then, like, getting arrested. It was kind of cool, but it seemed so unrelated from the rest of the action of the film.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a plot line they really wanted to do in the show that they didn't get to do in the
show. I think that feels very accurate.
But it was kind of sweet. Like, it was kind of cool to see Thomas, like, you know, like, find other gay men and be able to be like, oh, I'm not alone. Like, it was really cool. It just felt a little unrelated.
Yeah, unrelated and fast. Mm-hmm. Where, like, well, everything else seemed drawn out and we were really, like, going into all the details of their stay with their luncheons and the whole plan to, like, uproot and kind of throw anarchy and lock people in their rooms and take back our house. And then you would just cut back to them dancing. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is fun for you. This is great.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, it would have been better if you had a whole season to play that out and to really let him talk about what he was experiencing.
I think that is really interesting and important drama.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like, what was it like to be gay in a time period like that where, I mean, it's like, it's dangerous today to be out. But, like, how dangerous was it back then? So I think it's worth exploring. It just felt like...
And the little bit we got was him saying, like, I've never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, well, you're here now.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things, it's like, once you've been judged, you're judged for this.
Yeah.
Like, we see you. It doesn't matter how long, we see you and we're rude.
Poor Thomas.
But yeah.
It was cool. There was
like the movie.
I thought this movie was really good.
Yeah.
I think it was really great. It just made me laugh. Oh my gosh, that scene with Mosley when they were like...
Oh, best scene in the movie.
They, like, get rid of all the royal staff through various means, and then they're like... All Downton Abbey staff is, like, serving the royal family.
What a caper.
And you're like, they did it. They pulled it off.
Yeah.
And then Mosley was like, actually, it's Downton Abbey staff that's serving you.
And just everyone slowly turns and looks at him, and he realizes what he's done, and he's just frozen, just in shock.
They shot that so well.
Brilliant.
That the camera just kept getting closer on him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And the way his little bow tie kept shaking as he's like gulping.
That was so funny. I don't remember Mosley being so comedic in the show.
I feel like, at least in the couple episodes I watched, he was a bit of a sad sack, but there's a bit of comedy with him, but it was more just like, oh, that poor guy.
He's dying his hair.
Yeah, that was pretty great. And they're like, no, don't do
Mosley
that.
Mosley was good. I also really liked the very brief scene of them trying to put out the chairs in the rain.
Yeah.
Because I really liked Lady Mary. They're like, no, you can't go out. It's raining. And she was like, I have to do it. Like, it just, there were some scenes like that in the show, too, where Lady Mary was like, ugh, whatever.
But that was stuff where, as it was happening in the show, or in the movie, I'm like, alright, where is this going? Mm-hmm. And it pays off at the end, whenever she becomes the heir to Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Skips her father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a bold move. Well, which, I would do the same. I would not let Lord Grantham run that house.
It was so crazy. He barely had any screen time, and then, like, in the end, he like, popped up on screen and said something, and I was like, oh yeah!
Lord Grantham was here.
Yeah, interesting.
It was interesting when
he's kind
like,
of one of the least interesting characters of Downton Abbey.
Yeah, you're telling me. Like, and it sucks because we love him in Paddington. Like, the actor is great.
Yes,
it's not his fault.
Hugh Bonneville.
Yeah,
he's great.
You know who is also great? Like, I haven't watched a ton of the later seasons of this, but the kid that's also in Dunkirk. He's the young guy.
I didn't watch them.
I know, I'm realizing that. He's the young guy that the other cook is marrying.
Daisy's marrying Andy.
Andrew.
Yeah. He's great.
He's good in Dunkirk, too.
I like him.
He's got a good role.
He sometimes looks really dorky, but then sometimes he looks really hot.
I feel like that's why I identify with him. I'm like, I'm like you, dude. Like,
I think that's kind of my type.
At the right angles, like, I look good. But at the wrong angles, you're like, this is a weird-shaped human.
That's a good way of putting it. Because, yeah, there were times that I was like, oh, look at him. He's such an oaf. And then, like, he would just be walking all tall and lanky, and I'd be like, you're cute.
Hey, look at those long legs.
Yeah, he was good. He's a really good actor.
Yeah,
he's nice.
I liked him in this. I was really glad they didn't make the plumber plotline take the whole,
bigger.
A big thing. I was like, okay, I can't handle this. Like, we already know she has a hard time deciding things and, like, doesn't always pick up on a lot. And so I'm glad it was a quick button where she was like, no, you care for me. Like, you fight for me. You're like me. Like, maybe that's too intense, but I get it.
Yeah, that was cute.
I appreciated that.
That was cute. Ugh.
I mean, how would you recommend this show to other people? I mean, obviously you would recommend it to everyone, right? Like, you're a big fan.
I mean, I am a fan. I love historical, like, I love period pieces.
Yeah.
This is not my favorite time period.
See, like, I love this time period. Like, the turn of the century from, like, 1900 to about 1920s. Love that time period.
Really?
It's, like, the birth of ragtime. It's when, like, a lot of interesting things were happening in America, too. Like, that's when Houdini was getting huge.
True.
I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not for you, not
a
huge...
I like Downton Abbey. I just think that the writing in the show kind of suffers, like, halfway through. I think it kind of struggles. I think it could have had a good, solid four seasons if it had ended after four seasons. But some people really love it. I think if people love, like, a period piece, they would really like this one. Because there are lots of really cool little details in the show that are very time period specific. Like, that Spanish flu that killed people.
Oh,
that was a real historical event.
That was brutal.
Event. Yeah, it was very sad.
And that's what I was just thinking. I was like, this is a very calm, relaxing show most of the time. But it's like 95% of the time, it's very calm and relaxing. And then somebody is just vomiting blood. And you're like, oh, I guess this is a thing that's happening now. And somebody can do that and survive. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else is like, oh no, I'm feeling quite fine. And then they are dead. What a show.
Yeah.
People die during sex, or they drive a car and then it just topples over.
And that's another complaint I have about the show, is that, like, Sybil's death was so freaking sad, but it made sense in the way that it happened. It was kind of a lesson in, like, do you trust the family doctor that's known you, or do you trust the fancy new, like, specialist? Yeah. Like, there was kind of a message in there.
I still don't get what happened to her.
She had a very...
I know, you explained it to me. It just doesn't make sense.
A very rare birth complication that can kill you, and she had it. And the fancy specialist was like, no, she's fine. And they, Lord Grantham, chose to go with the advice of the fancy specialist rather than their family doctor, who's known and worked with her his whole life. Anyway, the whole thing is, Sybil's death was so sad, but when Matthew's death happened later on in the season, everyone was so mad.
Just like, how dare you do this to him?
Random car crash. Random.
Yeah. Where they're like, we don't know what to do with him now.
Mm, well, yeah.
Upsetting.
How British is it?
This is the most British thing we've ever watched.
I don't know about that.
This could not exist in any other country, I don't think. I highly doubt you could make this show anywhere but England. I feel like this is such an old school British culture. The kind of caste system, the way it is, how they interact with people, like, just this big, extravagant, massive building. Mm. I mean, I guess the closest you would ever get in America would be showing, like, a plantation or something, but you almost never have anybody super fancy there. Yeah. Like, and you wouldn't have balls, you'd have cotillions.
Yeah, I think it's pretty British. I think it's a very British show. Yeah. There's lots of tea.
It's true. Do you have a British word for me?
I do have a British word for you to guess.
All right.
All right, your word is bezzy. B-E-Z-Z-I-E. What do you think that refers to?
I think it's like, you know, some of my favorite slang is a nickname or slang that makes a word longer than it actually is. And so it's whenever you did the best. It's like, how'd you do? Bezzy. Like, best but better than best is bezzy.
Use it in a sentence.
Well, it's a response more than anything. Okay. I don't think you would use it in a full sentence. It would be like, hey, did you go out for drinks last night? Yeah, mate, they were bezzy. Like, it's kind of one of those. It punctuates the activity. And you know, oh man, that's better than best. It's bezzy. It's the bezziest.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, I teach you things about words sometimes.
Incorrect.
Ow.
You get 1 point for it being... It means best.
I know.
But it's what you would call your best friend, your bezzy.
Your bezzy?
Yeah.
Better than best. Yeah, see, like, I know what it is.
No, you got it wrong.
Or did I?
No.
See, the thing is, maybe I'm shaping pop culture. Maybe I know the words from the future.
There's no way.
We'll have to see in 5 to 10 years if everyone in England is referring to everything as bezzy.
I don't want to do this podcast anymore. I quit.
No.
You're the worst. That was fun. Yeah. This has been a marriage-ending episode.
But this has been a phenomenal show to talk about.
Yeah, Downton Abbey. What a great one. Great.
Highly recommend to everyone.
Fun.
At least watch the whole first season, then decide whether or not you want to keep going.
Everybody watch the movie. It's amazing.
Movie's great. So good.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can find us on Instagram, Anglophiles Podcast, files with an F. We are also on Facebook, and you can email us, anglophiles@gmail.com. If you have a minute, please leave us a review. We've been getting some amazing reviews on iTunes. I am very grateful. We're both very grateful.
Yeah, absolutely.
That people are enjoying us. So, thank you. Join us next time.
Yes, until next time, keep calm. And I'm Laura Linney, and this is Masterpiece Classics. Boo 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 bo